Issues, etc. listeners are needed to vote for president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Every LCMS congregation has the right to vote through a pastoral and a lay voter, two voters per congregation or parish. Voter registration must be completed by midnight central on March 19th of 2023. Request to be a voter at your congregation for president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Learn more at issuesetc.org/2023nominations.
We have questions from our listeners on Stephen's death. Why were the Jews allowed to stone Stephen to death, but they had to go get Pilate's permission to have Jesus crucified? It is election season in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Some people are curious about candidates for vice president, and we'll talk a little bit about why Jesus continues to intercede for us. It's a listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. The email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, and the comment line, 618-223-8382.
Well, our podcast problems continue. Here's an email from her: website podcast not working, 11 a.m. to 11:52 a.m. Eastern time.
Okay, we're trying to track down the problem here. As far as we know, the company that hosts our server, that has the server where the website is hosted, holds all the files and everything, essentially the guts of the website. They have identified about a dozen IP addresses that appear to be hitting our site with requests, large requests, get requests is what they're called, and multiple requests at a time. And we're working with our IT people to see if that's a problem. It could also be that we simply need more RAM at our server. That's a possibility, although every time I check the CPU and the RAM usage at our server, the highest I've ever seen it is 11%. I'm no expert, but my layperson says we should probably look at those IP addresses and say, what are they requesting and why are they, they're not crashing it. They're just bogging down the website on a regular basis. Usually first thing in the morning when Jeff gets up and reads his email.
I just want the listeners to know we're not blowing this off. we're not putting this on the back burner. It's a top priority and we're making progress, and thanks for your patience with us. Tim writes, here's a great question. Thank you so much for providing us with Issues, Etc. It's a great resource for me. I especially enjoy teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker. Anyhow, a question occurred to me while listening to the last episode regarding Stephen's martyrdom. What changed after Jesus' death that allowed the Jews to condemn a man to death? The Pharisees told Pilate that Roman law prevented them from killing Jesus directly. What changed? Or am I just missing something obvious? Thanks for the email. Thanks for listening, Tim.
You're not missing anything obvious. It's two different situations. So in Jesus' case, remember, Jesus is a very popular teacher. And for at least 3 years, he has been gathering a following that the Jewish leadership sincerely believes is going to draw Roman attention. And they are sincerely afraid that Jesus might begin an insurrection. They're misunderstanding what Jesus is about, which it's all the more important when Jesus and Pilate encounter one another. And Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my followers would fight for me. But they're not fighting for him. Jesus even acknowledges the fact that the rumor is that Jesus is an insurrectionist. And so what the Jewish leaders want to do is persuade Pilate to do their dirty work for them so that they can prove to the Romans, we're still royal subjects of Caesar. They even say it, we have no king but Caesar, right? So it's kind of a twofold thing. They want to prove their loyalty to the Romans because they're sincerely afraid that Jesus is going to bring the Romans down on their heads. And they've said that already in their council meeting. They're going to remove us from our place. Jesus is going to draw so much attention from the Romans. And the other thing they want to do is they want to see Jesus dead. And the most efficient way to kill two birds with one stone, to show the Romans that you're loyal and to get Jesus dead, is to convince Pilate that he deserves death. So they go in with this argument. They go in saying, by our law, he deserves to die. Well, they don't make the case that by Roman law, he deserves to die. Because Jesus hasn't done anything deserving death, and Pilate says it like five times. So finally, they themselves start fomenting essentially a riot in Pilate's court, crying out for Jesus to be crucified. And Matthew tells us, Pilate, realizing that he was getting nowhere and that a riot was ensuing, he calls for the famous basin of water, he washes his hands, and he says, I am innocent of this man's blood, see to it yourselves. And then he gives them permission to crucify him. So he just gives in to the mob and says, fine, you can have this guy crucified. You want him dead. You say, by your law, he should die. I found nothing wrong with him. I declare him innocent, but you can have your way. So he releases Barabbas, and then he sends Jesus to be crucified. That's the situation in the first case. Now, in Stephen's case, remember, Stephen's just one of these deacons of this Christian movement. The same Jewish leaders are incensed, but Stephen doesn't have this big following. They're trying to stamp out the name of Jesus. That's what the whole first part of the book of Acts is about, when they continue to harass the disciples and the apostles, and they just want them to stop talking about Jesus. So what happens with Stephen is really a spur-of-the-moment thing. Now, why would the Romans allow this? The Romans probably didn't care. Had the Jews gone and stoned Jesus outside the city of Jerusalem, and nothing happened afterwards, no retribution, the Romans wouldn't have bothered with that. Would it have been illegal? Yeah, but they would have been, come on. It's just the Jewish leaders doing what the Jewish leaders do. And remember, in Jesus' ministry, there are several times where they take up stones to stone him, and he disappears from their sight. Or they're trying to stone the woman caught in adultery in John chapter 8. So the Jews were getting away with public stonings. And the Romans, as long as it didn't turn into anything bigger than that, they let them keep the peace that way. Was it illegal? Yes. In the case of Jesus, they need public sanction. They need the Roman sanction and the Roman approval of this, and to prove that they're loyal to the Roman overseers. In the case of Stephen, this happens at the spur of the moment. Did the Romans notice? We don't know, but they obviously didn't step in to stop them. We get this picture that somehow in first century Palestine, they're like Roman soldiers patrolling the streets like the police. That's not how the Romans occupied. They kept a garrison in places, in key places. They just wanted the trade to continue. Otherwise, you wouldn't be seeing Roman soldiers just walking the streets every day. They let the people, the Romans were pretty much a hands-off empire. If you kept the peace and you could abide by your own laws, they didn't bother you. Only when you started interfering with trade or something like that, then they would come down on you. And this is the reason why they destroyed Jerusalem in 70 AD. There was an uprising. They said, all right, let's teach them a lesson. And they raised the city of Jerusalem because they were setting an example. We're around here to keep the peace. You don't keep the peace, we're going to destroy your city. So two different situations, but technically in both cases, it would have been illegal for them to kill Jesus by stoning under Roman law.
So the Romans were kind of like the Empire forces in Star Wars.
Yeah. It wasn't like they were constantly milling. The Roman Empire was a vast swaths of land and sea. You cannot police the streets of every city and town. You just make sure that people know that you're there. Every once in a while, you flex a little muscle to make sure people remember, we're the Romans, we're here, we're taking care of you. And other than that, they just let business go as usual and collected their taxes.
FYI, a new episode of The Mandalorian will be released today.
Ooh, I'm glad you said that. I totally forgot. Jeff, look, when I get home after church, I have something to look forward to. Thank you.
I can't stay up that late, Craig. You're younger than me. This comes from Mark, Romans 8:34. Jesus is interceding for us at the right hand of the Father. He atoned for all sin once for all with his life, death, and resurrection. What is he accomplishing with his ongoing intercession? Thanks for the email. Thanks for listening, Mark.
Well, he's praying for us because our lives go on and we have great needs. So as a good intercessor, he's constantly interceding for us before the Father. And we don't want to reduce it all down to just the forgiveness of sins. He's not pleading with the Father for our forgiveness. We have that. He's pleading with the Father for our many other needs that we have. And he's pleading that we be brought to repentance, all the things that he should rightly pray to his Father for. And he continues to make intercession for us. he is still the intercessor in terms of the forgiveness of sins, but you're right, he has accomplished this. Now he continues to pray for his church and to intercede for his church, because the church has, there are errors in the church, there is persecution for the church. Individual Christians have a great many needs. And it's the same reason, a similar thing to when the apostle tells us that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. We pray, and the Holy Spirit takes what we pray. We do not know how to pray. And he takes what we pray, and he intercedes for us. When we come back, a little more listener email, the Issues Etc. comment line. In due time, Pastor Peter Bender will join us to look forward to Sunday morning according to the one-year lectionary. Stay tuned.
Issues Etc. listeners are needed to vote for president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Every LCMS congregation has the right to vote through a pastoral and a lay voter, two voters per congregation or parish. Voter registration must be completed by midnight central on March 19th of 2023. Request to be a voter at your congregation for president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Learn more at issuesetc.org/2023 nominations.
Have you heard of the nuns? I'm not talking about Roman Catholic women who wear habits. Rather, I'm talking about those who mark none on religious preference surveys. It is the fastest growing religious group in the United States, and it's something we need to pay attention to. The March issue of the Lutheran Witness takes up this question regarding where they come from, what they believe, and how we can point them to Christ and Him crucified for the forgiveness of their sins. To learn more, pick up your copy of the Lutheran Witness. Visit witness.lcms.org to learn more. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and lay people worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy promotes confessional Lutheran theology through conferences, scholarly exchanges, and publications like Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up for their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com.
St. Mark Lutheran Church in Waco, Texas is proud to support Issues Etc. Join us for worship and Bible study. If you're in Waco for business, college, traveling through the city, looking for a great place to retire, or searching for a church to receive Jesus' love and forgiveness, then visit St. Mark, a century-old Christ-centered Lutheran congregation in the heart of Waco, very near the silos. The Lord Jesus Christ be with you always. Visit us at stmarkwaco.com.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor. Bethel Lutheran, Thunder Bay, Ontario. Emmanuel Lutheran, Dearborn, Michigan. Grace Lutheran, Columbus, Indiana. Emmanuel Lutheran, Eagle, Nebraska. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Eola, Texas. Peace Lutheran, Filer, Idaho. Risen Savior Lutheran, Basor, Kansas. St. John Lutheran, Sycamore, Illinois. St. Peter Lutheran, Indianapolis, Indiana. And Zion Lutheran, Accident, Maryland. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support Donate, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the podcast, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.
I'm assuming you got my message on your machine.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Wednesday, March the 15th, we're going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line.
Hey, Craig, what's the name of that bump music? What's it? What's that?
That's a Muzzle of Bees?
Okay. I thought it was one that was Love Letter, and I'm thinking that's false advertising because leaving a message on a machine, it's not exactly a letter. I'm sorry. I digress. Steve listens in Arkansas. He said, Todd and Jeff, my pastor and I are the delegates for voting for president and chair vice president in the upcoming election, the LCMS, for our parish this year. Great job. Thanks for registering. The deadline is this Sunday, March 19th at midnight Central. We have our decision made on president, but need more information on how we can make an informed choice on first vice president. Could you please inform me with a reply in case I miss the Issues Etc. episode? We listen every day to the podcast and sometimes live. Please keep doing the work of the church. P.S. There are LCMS Lutherans that live in Central Arkansas. Keep up the great work. Thanks for the email. Thanks for listening, Steve.
Well, you don't need to worry about it right away because under our current system of elections, you only will be voting when it's time to vote for the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Then once he is elected, he, as president-elect, will choose from the slate of 20 nominees that were announced recently. He'll choose five from that slate. And I think it's...
to be first vice president.
To be the slate for first vice president, the full-time position of first vice president. So he gets to pick the slate. He needs to pick two, I believe, from the top five and three from the bottom 15. I think that's how it works out. So he gets to actually assemble the slate of men who could be elected as first vice president. Then that election takes place at the convention. And that election will be done by your convention delegate who is chosen from your local circuit, a pastoral delegate and a lay delegate. So if you're also going to be attending the convention, then you will be voting out of that slate of five that is pre-chosen by the president-elect of Senate. It's not an easy system. It's needlessly complicated, but it is the system we have.
The most pressing date is this Sunday, though, right?
Right. The most pressing date for congregations is this coming Sunday by midnight. They need to have chosen, by whatever means they do, they need to have chosen their pastoral voter. And if you only got one pastor, guess what? He's your pastoral voter and your lay voter, and that could be anyone in your congregation. So you need to have chosen those, and you need to have registered them by the appropriate means by midnight on Sunday. If you don't, you don't get to vote.
And it's vital that each and everyone listening make sure that your Lutheran Church Missouri Synod congregation has registered your pastoral and lay voter by this coming Sunday, March 19th. And as far as candidates, issuesetc.org/2023nominations, issuesetc.org/2023nominations.
You'll find a link there to a slate of candidates that we are recommending. So it's for both first vice president and then the regional vice presidents, which will also be elected during the convention.
issuesetc.org/2023nominations. Also on that same page, you have questions about the registration coming up March 19th. That information's there as well.
Right. We're trying to make it as easy as possible for our listeners and their congregations.
This comes from Lowell. Todd, love listening to Dr. Reed Lessing on the Exodus. In part two of your conversation with Dr. Lessing, he mentioned that he would be publishing a book about Christ in the Old Testament with Dr. Andrew Steinman. Could you let me know the name of the book that he published?
That's fascinating because Dr. Steinman's a regular guest. Dr. Reed Lessing is a regular guest, and they both have written a number of books. No one's going to beat Dr. Steinman for the number of books he's written. He's one of the most prolific scholars in the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod. Did we get a response from
Reed? The book, and it will be an Issues Etc. book of the month later this year. It's titled The Message About the Messiah, How the Old Testament Points to Jesus by Dr. Reed Lessing and Dr. Andrew Steinman.
The Message About the Messiah. All right, good. Question answered.
This comes from Pastor Williams in Missouri. Is there a way to search the Issues Etc. journals? I'm particularly wanting to know if there's a journal that covers the Word of Faith movement and the New Apostolic movement. Thanks and keep up the great work, guys.
There is no way to search those. Well, there is a way, but it's a laborious process of searching them on my laptop. But I can tell you that since I have been writing the journal, we have not done anything on the Word of Faith or the New Apostolic Reformation. It's not a bad idea to maybe ask Chris Roseborough to do one for us because he's the guy who knows that stuff better than anyone else.
But he didn't come out of the New Apostolic Reformation.
No, he's just critiquing it from the outside. So, you know, the place where it would be is maybe the Wittenberg Trail feature, but I don't think we have anybody who's come out of Word of Faith who's written a Wittenberg Trail feature. I don't know about the Don Matzett days. He would not have been dealing with the New Apostolic Reformation because it didn't exist in those days. But certainly Word of Faith was hot and heavy during the few years that Don Matzett was hosting the show and writing the journal.
So what you're going to have to do is go to issuesetc.org, click publications, then journal, and just have to go through one by one. Just nothing comes to mind as far as Wittenberg Trail when it comes to the Word of Faith or the New Apostolic Reformation. issuesetc.org/publications.
I think I wrote a review of one of
Joel Osteen's books,
and that's about as close as you're going to get.
I think he's really looking for somebody that's come out of it.
Right.
And so that would be in the Wittenberg Trail. I'm just looking at the first four we have going back to the summer of 2009. I'm not seeing anything. So I apologize. I should have looked before we went on the air. But issuesetc.org/publications and click journal and just go one by one. And, you know, we're getting older. Our memories aren't what they used to be.
That's for sure.
All right. Michael, Springfield, Illinois. Thank you for the hymn study on Lord of Our Life. While I appreciate Pastor Will Wheaton's excursus.
It depends on if it's singular or plural.
Excursus, singular.
Mm-hmm.
On Noah's Ark and the blessing of holy baptism, when discussing the line, "See round your ark the hungry billows curling," my mind's eye has always been that reference to the ark to be the ark of the Lord, also called the ark of the testimony or the ark of the covenant. It is God's sacramental presence among his people that gives victory over the enemies as the ark of the Lord leads the people of Israel into the land God promised, the book of Joshua. Even later, as the people of God are established in the land and enemies attack, the ark of the Lord goes before them. All seems lost as their own strength and might cannot protect the ark, and it is captured by the Philistines, 1 Samuel 4. But God is victorious, even apart from the strength of men, and Philistines are subdued, 1 Samuel 5. While the original German text does not reference the ark, this first line of the second stanza, roughly translated, is "strive even by yourself on behalf of your poor children," which would seem to better describe God's offensive attack in the ark of 1 Samuel than the defensive deliverance of the ark of Genesis. Perhaps one day our Lord will grant that we may see the translator in heavenly glory, and we can ask him which ark he meant. Thanks for bringing us such insightful programming as these hymn studies. Keep up the good work. And thank you for listening in Springfield. We'll see you next week, Springfield, Illinois. We're going to be broadcasting from the March for Life in Springfield, the Illinois March for Life, on Tuesday of next week.
And thank you for the email. I thought exactly the same thing. When I first read that, the Ark reference I went to was the Ark of the Covenant. And it seemed to fit better in, nothing against what Will had to say about the Genesis Ark, but seemed to fit better within the context of the kind of the militant picture that was being painted by that hymn. So, and I thought about that. I think Jeff thought about it too, but we were growing short on time in our interview. And those hymn studies have to run kind of like a clock because we have to get through all the stanzas, then we have to play the entire hymn as well. And it has to fit, generally speaking, we like to hit them to fit into a regular radio clock hour so we can use them in the future sometimes for best ofs. But as we were running short on time, I thought, well, I'm just going to let that go by. It's a great question. It occurred to me, but we were just running out of time. We were trying to stay on schedule.
Mark that as my second difference of opinion with Pastor Whedon recently. The Ark in the great hymn, one of my favorite hymns, Lord of Our Life. And on his podcast, he offered a possible interpretation of the parable of the prodigal son, which I don't agree with. So it doesn't happen very often.
It was an entirely innovative interpretation.
I'm just too old for innovation. And he didn't say this is the right. He gave what every basically Orthodox theologian, how they've interpreted it up until the 21st century.
It's a general rule, and this is not speaking specifically to Will's comment on the parable of the Good Samaritan.
Prodigal son.
Prodigal son, sorry. But generally speaking, if you say something theological and the rest of the church says, I've never heard that before, you're probably not in good territory. Innovation is an enemy of good theology. We build on what has come before us and the apostles and the prophets. Now, is it a good theological discussion, you know, to sit there and toss it around and say, hey, maybe this, what would it look like if that were the case here? Sure, but not from the pulpit, I would say. To say, hey, guess what? I just had a brand new, never before heard idea. We'll be right back.
Communication's never been as easy as today, and it would make me happy when you've gone so far away.
Hate my family, not peace but a sword, make friends by unrighteous wealth. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March is Jesus Said What? This new resource is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number 1-800-325-3040, or learn more about Jesus Said What at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March, Jesus Said What? 1-800-325-3040 or issuesetc.org.
Save the date. The 2023 Lutherans for Life National Conference is October 11th through 13th at the Holiday Inn Cincinnati Airport in Erlanger, Kentucky, with visits to the Ark Encounter and Creation Museum. Look for more information in early 2023 at lutheransforlife.org/conference. Lutherans for Life, equipping Lutherans and their neighbors to be gospel-motivated voices for life. Lutheransforlife.org.
Expert guests, expansive topics, extolling Christ. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Not everyone is comfortable with new technology. Dial-A Podcast gives all generations of your congregation an easy way to hear your sermons, or even devotionals and Bible studies. Once you've completed a simple one-time setup, we take care of the rest. All your congregants have to do is dial the number from any phone to listen to your latest podcast, all at no additional cost to them. Dial-A Podcast. Extend the reach of your sermons. Get started at dialapodcast.com now.
Many educational institutions are governed by the whims of culture and are increasingly hostile to the Word of God. In contrast, Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, provides classical Lutheran education rooted in God's Word for students preschool through grade 12. Simply put, we equip students to stand firm in the faith through solid education focused on wisdom and virtue. We offer in-person instruction as well as live online classes for remote learning. To learn more, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.
I hold this letter here in my hand, a plea, a petition, a kind of prayer.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. That email address, talkback at issuesetc.org, and the comment line, 618-223-8382.
I apologize for inundating the smartest and most faithful listeners in podcasting and radio with too many dates. We mentioned that March 19th is the deadline for your Lutheran Church Missouri Synod congregation to register voters for president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Today, March 15th, is the early bird registration deadline for the 2023 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
The last day that you will get the $140 registration fee. After today, it goes up to...
I don't know.
More.
I was hoping... I don't remember if it's 150, 160. I don't remember. I was going to look at our... We have a Lutheran Witness Act coming out in April. I could probably find that right now. I just got it electronic.
I think I saw when going through stuff that it was 160, if I'm not mistaken. But in any event... It's your last opportunity to get the $140 registration fee, which includes three meals.
And they're good meals.
And you can, yeah, they are. They do a really good job of serving the food at that brand new, what's it called? It's not a cafeteria. They have a name for it.
I don't know. I know the Cougar Den's down the stairs.
It's a fooditorium or something like that. I don't know what it is.
You know, I'm sure I'm on the Board of Regents. If somebody would like to, you know, name that cafeteria for a...
I think
considerable
it's
considerable donation. I don't think it's got a person on it.
Oh, it doesn't. Okay.
I'm sure we could add a person's name to it. Let me know before I leave for River Forest, Illinois tomorrow, and I'll see what I can do for you.
All right. So
Lynn says it's $160.
Okay. $160. So you will save $20 a person by registering by tonight at midnight. Then it goes up to $160, which means I've got something to do very early in the morning.
Lynn's right. I'm looking at the electronic issue of the April Lutheran Witness Magazine. So if you're a couple, if you register today, you're going to save $40.
The conference is coming up the 16th and 17th of June. We are rapidly filling up. I think the last
almost at 400,
and our absolute limit really is 500. We just can't fit any more people into the room than that comfortably. And you can find out everything you need to know at our website, issuesetc.org. There's a menu right there that you can pull down to register for the 2023 Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference. You can also, if you need help, and I think I heard Lynn helping someone about an hour ago on the phone. Her office is right outside of mine. You can register by giving her a call, 618-223-8385.
One final date. This Saturday marks the 15th anniversary of our cancellation by the previous leadership of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We used to be under the auspices of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. March 18th was Holy Week in 2008 when we were canceled, fired, but they said, you're not fired, but do we have a job?
No.
No. The line was...
The show is being discontinued. The show is being discontinued.
But we weren't fired.
But we were not being fired. Although somehow we were also being offered severances and we're not allowed to go back to the building and had to turn in our keys. So...
Go figure.
Semantics. I can honestly say, I think I'm still an employee of the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod because I've never been fired.
That's true.
I just had the show canceled out. I wonder if that figures into my pension.
No, it doesn't. I saw something. Our pensions, they stopped drawing a long time ago. I mean, it's whatever we paid into it to our...
Yeah.
Cancellations,
but I've never been firing.
We,
you and I collectively, who's the character in Office Space, Milton, who keeps, they keep moving his desk and he finally ends up his desk down in the basement and they don't know how he got on the books and they eventually just stop paying him, but they never have the guts to fire him. The guy never has the guts to go down and fire him and just say you're fired. So they just eventually stop paying him.
But they wouldn't let us do our job.
Movie.
Remember, we wanted to come in Easter Sunday night. We had a Sunday night nationally syndicated show.
Jeff Gibbs
on the Resurrection of Matthew. We promised that we wouldn't say anything about our firings or cancellation. We just want to get the gospel out one last time on a Sunday night nationally syndicated show.
Nope.
On 100-plus stations in major markets across the country and on XM Sirius Satellite Radio. The mission-minded folks of the LCMS.
And we were going to do it for free.
Forgot about the mission.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to do it for free because we walked away from our severances at that time. The mission-minded leadership of the LCMS said, no, turn in your keys. Literally, that afternoon, within hours, we were supposed to interview Dr. Jeff Gibbs on the resurrection, according to Matthew, for Easter Sunday night broadcast, and they refused to let us do it. These are the missional leaders. This is the missional leadership of your beloved church body, folks, at work, firsthand.
It was, and I don't think anybody had the thought to inform our affiliates that the show is not going to be on. So all of our affiliates are sitting there waiting, or at least their automation is waiting, for our show to come on for 2 hours, and it was dead air. On all those affiliates.
But they had to pay the bills.
Yeah.
Of course, they paid them. They paid people. They're buying airtime on radio stations. They paid them for nothing.
To run dead air.
And we offered to proclaim the resurrection according to the Gospel of Matthew with Dr. Jeff Gibbs. You can't make this stuff up. Anyway, if you'd like to read more about our anniversary of our cancellation in March 18th of 2008, type in radio silence. Molly Hemingway, she wrote a column for the Wall Street Journal. You can learn all about it.
It just occurred, I'm technically still an employee of the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod. I might be up for like one of those plaques, because that would be, for you, would be a little bit longer, like 5 years longer.
It's in the mail.
You would be at a 30-year mark.
In 2024? Next year?
Yeah.
A 30-year employee of the LCMS. We'll see if the plaque comes through.
Yeah.
Is there anything that goes with that?
No, I don't think so.
It's not a free meal, free lunch at the... Do they have a cafeteria over at the International Center?
Yeah, they do.
It's still there. I'd heard that they don't have it anymore.
It includes a guided tour of the first, it's actually the third floor of the International Center, but you can't go behind half the doors, so... You can walk the halls, a guided tour, and I think coffee, a cup of coffee. 30 years, thanks.
That's a great point. Last week, we talked about an encore of that Sunday night nationally syndicated show that we weren't allowed to air on Easter Sunday with Dr. Ken Scherer, a biography on Dietrich Bonhoeffer, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Jason listened to it and he said, Todd's voice, he was so young then.
I was much younger, 20 years younger probably. I don't think my voice has changed that much. I know I've slowed down a lot.
Let me just say your voice has changed a lot. It really has. I used to, when I would dub some of those old shows in, Jeff would ask me to do one cassette and the older shows. I don't know what it was, but yeah, your voice has changed very, very noticeable. I mean, but it's over time. So, you know, if you continue to listen to the show, it's not like it's something that you notice right away for day to day, but over 15, 20 years.
Yes. It comes from yelling at grandkids.
Yeah, that's probably true. I very seldom yell at my grandkids. So,
wow.
Now,
I bet I will be.
I know you will be.
What's that old saying? Speak softly, but carry a big stick.
Yeah, I just, we're going on day 7 of a stomach bug going through that family. Man. And so I get to take care of a different sick child every morning. It's,
you know, wonderful. I think I probably shared this. You know, we've been blessed with 5 children, and after, you used to try to quarantine the first one, right? But if you quarantine the first one, like a week later, another one's going to get it, and then another one. Beth just learned to just, once one has it, just let them all play with the sick kid and get it over with. Otherwise, this thing draws out for 4 to 5 weeks.
Right. You don't want it to, you don't want to slow march through the institution. Let it go.
Mark in New Mexico, Pastor Wilkin and Jeff, thank you for airing the segment with the lady who got out of Bill Gothard's cult. That lady is Ginger Duggar Volo. In one former church of mine in my Baptist young adulthood, several members, even associate pastor, were wrapped up in those teachings of Bill Gothard. One couple sent their older daughter off to his finishing school, and she came back thoroughly brainwashed. It broke my heart to see. I remember asking the Lord to cut that Gothard cancer out of that church, and he did. Families departed, hopefully not metastasizing that teaching elsewhere, but having it stamped out by God's word. Thanks for listening in New Mexico, Mark.
Yeah, and it can do a great amount of damage. I do recommend listening to the interview that we did with Ginger Duggar Volo, and it's really a very thoughtful interview of how she came out of the Gothard fundamentalism. I had some experience with it. I went to a couple seminars when I was in high school, but never to the degree that the Duggars did. So it's a fascinating and very interesting conversation with her.
One last email. Jim in St. Charles, Missouri. I want to let you know that National Review Magazine has a book review in its February 6, 2023 issue on the book Black Liberation Through the Marketplace. The co-author, Rachel Ferguson, was a speaker at the 2022 Making the Case Conference. It's great that issues, etc., and the Making the Case conferences are at the leading edge of serious discussion.
Yeah, it was a great interview that we did with her as part of the live broadcast that opened last year's Issues, etc., Making the Case conference. And the book, a fascinating, fascinating book about, well, really that the market access that Black Americans have access to is the answer to a lot of the broader problems we have in society. When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Pastor Peter Bender of the Concordia Catechetical Academy. We'll be looking forward to Sunday morning according to the one-year lectionary, the fourth Sunday in Lent. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
The grace of God, the church's music, the Lord's Supper every service every Sunday, preaching Christ crucified and risen, our hope for years to come, there is hope in St. Louis, Hope Lutheran Church, that is. 5218 Neosho Street, St. Louis, Missouri. Find us on the web at hopelutheranstl.org.
I am beautiful because I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
I am accepted because I'm a part of His family through Jesus' shed blood.
Unity Lutheran School in East St. Louis, Illinois, shines the light of Christ in one of the most impoverished cities in America. Learn how to support their mission work at unityesl.org. Unityesl.org.
Today, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I say yes to God in His ways.